Hi, this is Dan Sheridan bringing you the great news of God's transcendent grace. It is Monday, and it is a very rainy day here in Chicago, but at least we can say there is no snow on the ground. That's a rare occurrence. Thank God summer is just around the corner. Can't wait. Well, just got back from Michigan yesterday. Another great weekend. Meeting with some brothers out there, young people who are on fire for the Word of God correctly cut. And it's always a pleasure to be out there, spend some time with Martin Zender recording some shows. And thanks for all of your prayers and support. And it's just a blessed opportunity to be heralding a message that Michael the Archangel would probably kill to do. But no, God chooses people like us, who in the world's eyes are kind of stupid and, as Paul says, the offscouring or the scum of the earth, as it were. But that's what God chooses to herald his evangel of grace. So it's a blessed privilege. You know, the greatest news of all is that all will be vivified. That's the greatest news of all. And that's one heck of a way to start out Death Week Part 2. That's right. We're still in Death Week, but I'm talking about life right now. This is Death Week Part 2. We're discussing the nature of death again. And today, we're going to discuss God's great gift. And we're going to show how Spiritism has influenced Christian doctrine regarding death. Now, again, the greatest news of all is that all mankind will be vivified. People aren't kept alive when they die. They will be made alive. But theology, Christian theology, the philosophy of Plato, and the teachings of demonic spiritists all agree that death is really life in another place. Who would have thought that Christians, heathen philosophers and spiritists had a common doctrine, but they do, and I'm going to show you that here in a few minutes. Now, man isn't immortal in and of himself. One of the greatest false teachings is that death is actually life in another place, whether it's a better place or worse place. It is a denial of the power of God to teach that the dead are really alive. And it's a denial of the power of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. Life isn't inherent in anyone, not even Christ. In John 5:26, we read this. Pay attention. For even as the Father has life in himself, thus to the Son also he gives to have life in himself. So it's a gift to the Son. So apart, and when you look at this verse, apart from the Son, there is no life, because it was given to him to give life to others. So it's a gift of God. Scripture doesn't teach anywhere that there is life after death in another form or in a modified form. The Spirit doesn't continue to empower life at death. Now remember, if you listen to previous programs, Yahweh, Genesis 2:7, Yahweh Elohim formed the human soil from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Spirit is the source of life. The man is essentially soil, and the union of spirit and soil result in living soul. And so at death, the spirit doesn't continue to empower life, and the soul doesn't continue to live. The man is dead when he dies. No part of him survives. He's not alive. The denial of the reality of death is heathen philosophy that denies resurrection. Essentially, it's a way to get rid of God. That's what the philosophers did. They turned God into something called providence, or, you know, the great something or another. It was a nondescript God, and to the teaching of the immortality of the soul was a way for them to live without him, because man had all the characteristics of God anyway. So who needs a God? You're immortal, so why do you need a God? So to teach that death is life in another place is to deny God's great gift of resurrection. Death is a means for God to reveal his heart. You can see John 11 to see how that works out with Lazarus, who died. And through that process, the love and of Christ is shown in its height through the death of Lazarus, and then, of course, in his subsequent resurrection. All will be vivified. All will be vivified. That's the great news. This is what our message, that God is going to save, justify, and vivify all mankind. And it's a gift of God. Immortality is a gift from God. Now, when we are vivified, imagine that day when if you were to die right now, you will go to the condition you are in before you were conceived in your parents' womb. And the day you're vivified, you will realize you didn't earn it. It was all of grace. You couldn't vivify yourself, and we were helpless to gain it. That's one of the glories of this type, this resurrection to come, is we're going to realize it's all from God. And when we see this death and its function, that's the ultimate function of sin and death and judgment. The ultimate function of sin and death and judgment is to drive us to God's grace. Now, let's conclude here. To conclude, the teaching that man is immortal, that he lives in another form after death, is a teaching of demons. It's a spiritist doctrine, essentially. I'm going to quote to you a couple spiritists. This comes from Mr. Miles Grant from the Bible Echo. He's a spiritist. He does seances and mediums. This was about 100 years ago, but they still follow this same kind of teaching today. And this is what it says. Listen, if a man would become satisfied of modern spiritism, he must first be satisfied that he is an immortal being. Did you hear that? If you're to become satisfied with spiritism, you got to first be satisfied that you're an immortal being. Sound familiar? That's what Christianity teaches. The visitations and manifestations of the spirit world are to convince you of the immortality of the soul. That's another quote from the Bible Echo. How about another one? The first, the greatest, and the grandest truth coming through modern spiritism is the immortality of the soul. And guess what? Christian orthodoxy has nothing to say against it, because the pulpit, the hymn book, and all Christian literature echoes the teachings of spiritism. Listen to one of their creeds. Resolved that spiritism, according to the modern acceptation of the term, embraces all those who believe in the immortality of the soul. Beyond this common faith, there is no doctrine or creed necessarily incident to modern spiritism. Listen to that creed of spiritists, and the creeds of Christendom agree. Christendom teaches us that man doesn't really die. Christendom talks about souls live on forever, souls never die, and never dying souls. One of the spiritist doctrines says that when once that this is established, this one simple germ of knowledge will work out all the rest. Isn't that an amazing thought? That knowledge is what works out all the rest. This is the foundation of evil doctrine, the inherent immortality of the soul. This is the teaching in Genesis 3 where Satan told Eve, you're not really going to die. And it's being echoed by so-called Christians today in Christian theology. I'm going to read you another one. Another spirit says this, and we know what spirit it is. The first great object is to convince skeptics of the immortality of the soul. Disrobe death of its terrors. Give to men a rational religion, and unite all men in one grand sublime faith, in which angels or spirits of the dead hold intercourse with living men, thus raising the condition of the material world up to that of and in harmony with the spiritual. The design is, through the increase of knowledge and spiritual elevation, to crush, destroy, and break in pieces all the existing forms of government on the face of the whole earth. Listen to this. And in place of them, build up one common form of government in all the earth, having one common head. Every man will be his own ruler, and his natural demands his highest law. So the first great object was what? To convince people of the immortality of the soul. And what is that going to work out to? It's going to work out to this theocracy they're trying to set up. And it's definitely not the theocracy of Daniel 2:44 and 45. One more statement from Spiritist doctrine. Here it is. God is man, and man is God. No clearer idea of divine existence can possibly be commended to the mind than the statement that he is one grand universal man, that he is capitalized. And I see people who profess faith in Christ use terms like, we are Christ. I even see some of them say, we are God. Where did this come from? This awful teaching right here. That teaching of the immortality of the soul is the source of the ignorance of God's goal, which is to vivify all mankind. Only Christ has immortality now. When he was on the cross, he had to give up his spirit because the Father had given him to have life in himself, like we read in John 5:26. But God gave it back to him in resurrection. And now through him, the firstborn from among the dead, God will give the gift of immortality to all mankind. arrogant man. Men who believe that their gods attributes immortality to himself through false philosophy, through Christian creeds, and through the teaching of Spiritism. They're so arrogant they attribute immortality to themselves. But immortality is a gift of God through grace, which leads all the glory to God and none of it to men. That's the good news. Well, we'll have more on this topic of death this week. What do we got coming up next? Well, we will be talking about some false views regarding death. We're going to get into the lake of fire this week. And we're going to talk about that phrase that people try to use in the day, that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Some people try to turn that into some kind of spiritual death. We will be addressing that as well. Thanks for listening. This is Dan Sherrod. And remember this, the closer you draw near to God through the correctly cut and correctly translated scriptures, the less religious and ceremonial you will be. Have a great day.